Well, I look forward to the day when I get to know each of you without a mask. Right now, I only feel like I know half of you. I'm trying to recognize people by hair and eyes, and as a newcomer, that's difficult. So bear with me if I've asked your name for the fourth or fifth time, and maybe you changed masks. Maybe I couldn't tell who you were. So a few years ago, there was a series of commercials that I think most of us will be familiar with. It was Holiday Inn Express, and they had these commercials where people from ordinary walks of life acquired great knowledge in fields that they had never studied. There was the cowboy actor who knew how to treat a poisonous snake. There was a sales rep that knew how to rap, and I'm not talking about presents. He knew how to rap with hipsters. And there was one where a father was visiting a college student and happened to walk into a math class and solved a major theoretical problem on the board. And of course, in all these cases, someone says, "Well, how did you do that? How do you know?" Well, are you a musician? Are you a doctor? Are you a professor? No, I stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night. I think in a very subtle way, these commercials have captured the ethos, the mood, the tone, the tenor of our day. These commercials have reminded us of the death of expertise. We don't need experts. We have Google. I say, Google is, therefore, I know. We all think that because we can look up every lineup the Braves have ever had in a World Series game, that suddenly we are all experts in everything from vaccines to climate change to whether or not there really are aliens at Area 51. We think, I can look it up. There's Google. Therefore, I know. I can answer any question. I had a friend who would say, if only we had a device where we could look that up. And we do. So while other people are still talking, we've looked up the answer, and by the time they're finished, we know better. And because we know so much, I've known physicians who have had patients who already knew a better treatment than what they were going to prescribe because they had looked it up on the internet. And I'm sure none of our educators would ever experience individuals who come and know more about their child's education than you do. But we all think that we know more than people who have spent their lives doing these things. Well, this brings us to the passage that Ellen read for us earlier. And, we all know that the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept in John. Here is the longest chapter by verse count in the Bible. There are 176 verses in the 119th Psalm. 176 different ways to say the same thing. To say the same thing over and over and over again. God's law, God's statute, God's teachings, God's word, the scriptures, whatever you want to say it. It is necessary in my life. I love it. I praise God for it. I study it day and night. I cherish it in my heart. It's really 176 different ways to say one thing. Different words, different sequences, but read it. Sometime when you've got a few minutes, it'd be good to read through the entire 119th Psalm. We only read one section of it, but I can promise you, you will find parallel statements throughout the chapter that are all saying the same thing. It is God's word in which we find our basis for right living. It is the wisdom of God contained in Scripture that teaches us how we ought to be, and it is the word of God that shows us the way to what we would classify as the good life. Now, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock worship hour, we are all going to agree with that. Nobody will, at least in this setting, probably have the nerve to say, I don't agree with that. Somebody will meet me at the door and say that, but very few people would stand up in church, in a Baptist church, and say, I don't think that's true. But our lives give us away. Because while we would defend the Bible, there are things that the Bible teaches us to do that we think are just a little bit crazy. We think, that's really the wisdom of God? Well, that is just weird wisdom. For instance, I think some of us are getting out and eating out a little bit more. It's been a year since I've eaten at a Cracker Barrel, but I always associate this with eating at Cracker Barrel. You go pay your bill, and after you have gotten your credit card slip and you're turning around to walk away, the cashier will say, have a blessed day. Now, they say it other places. I just associate it with Cracker Barrel. So when the cashier says that, what are they wishing you? What would a blessed day look like? Well, a blessed day would probably look like I had all the green lights between my house and where I needed to go. And a blessed day, my health is good. And no matter how old your children are, if you have children, a blessed day, my children appreciate me. If they're little, they do what I say without arguing. If they're older, they actually call me from a couple states away. A blessed day would be one which my stocks go up. All these good things happen. But have you read the Sermon on the Mount recently and what Jesus describes as blessed? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. If this were the case, then it's not really a blessed day until some of these things happen. I don't think that's what the woman at Cracker Barrel had in mind when she said, have a blessed day. And most of us, if had to choose, would much rather choose the Cracker Barrel version of blessing than the Jesus version of blessing. So is the wisdom of God really that smart? Is it really something that I crave, something I want in my life? The Apostle Paul says, it's more blessed to give than receive. If that were the case, I'd spend less time on eBay and more time trying to figure out where I wanted to give some of what I have. Or wherever you shop. If you have two coats, give to one who has none. I'm just so glad he wasn't talking about khaki pants, because I've got more than two pairs of khaki pants. And if I had to give all my khaki pants away, there wouldn't be much in my closet. The wisdom of God, as contained in Scripture, the things that we are told to do, or the things that we're told we could do, that lead to the good life, seem so at odds with the world in which we live. Now, this is not practical. This doesn't make any sense. You can't live like this. You can't give away half your clothes to somebody else. You can't be spending all your time thinking about your spiritual condition. I mean, what kind of blessing would that be? Now the question comes, what does this passage have to do with Lent? And actually it has everything to do with Lent. Because when we stop and meditate on what the wisdom of God teaches us and how at odds it is with the world, we realize that being a Christian is not simply having good manners, calling your mama every other week, being kind to stray pets, and whatever else. You know, a little do-goodism thrown in every once in a while. I put money in the kettle last Christmas. Yeah. Being a Christian is a way of life that runs counter to so much of the wisdom of the world. It is a choice. And here we are in Lent. Next Sunday, it's hard to believe, is Palm Sunday when we think about Jesus at the cross. It is hard to reconcile what we think of as the sensible, practical things to do with the wisdom of God that talks about suffering is the pathway to life, that giving makes us wealthier than receiving, and how we're blessed. And it becomes a choice. Do I choose this or do I choose that? Well, most of us have chosen the one that seems to be in front of us all the time, not the one that Jesus not only teaches, but the one Jesus himself lives. Now, to borrow from Dr. Phil, when we think about the way we think is practical, the way we think makes sense, how is that working for us? All we have to do is look at the world around us and think of things that we have been through in the last year or two or three, and the unsettledness in nation, in the world, unsettledness in families, and just all the things that we have been at odds about. How's all this practical, sensible way of living really leading us in our lives? I don't think it's doing a very good job. G.K. Chesterton, who was a British philosopher and kind of an amateur theologian, said, it is not that the Christian way has been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and hardly tried. But what if all Christians lived according to the wisdom, according to the instructions and the insights that God gives us in this word? And what if we all decided, well, we're going to do this no matter what anybody else does? Do you think there might be a change in the world in which we live? Do you think there might be a change in our homes? Do you think there might be a change in my life? This passage fits so appropriately into Lent because it makes us call into question the common wisdom of the day. And however smart we think we are, do we really know? There's an interesting proverb that says, "It is better to be a fool than one who is wise in his own eyes." You know, we take that Holiday Inn thing and we apply it to the wisdom about how to lead our lives, and we think, I know better. I know better how to live life than the God who created life. It's very interesting. Don in the office does the covers, and sometimes we've coordinated and sometimes it's a surprise. And the tree looks like the tree of life to me in the Garden of Eden. Do you know what the first sin in Scripture is? is to try to be wise without God. And she saw the fruit and saw that it was a delight to the eyes and it was good to eat and it would make her wise. And same for Adam. She shows him, he sees the exact same thing. Trying to be wise without God. How is that working for you? I would say we walk the Lenten path with Jesus, the path of sacrifice and discipleship. We walk a path where there are decisions to be made. We have the Word, therefore we have life. We have God's instruction, therefore we know what we ought to do. Now let's do it. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we do love this word, and we love how it calls us back to a better place, how it calls us to a path that does lead to life. Help us to lead the many paths that have already led us to destruction and will do so again. Help us to treasure your word, to know your wisdom, and to live according to it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.